Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, name 847, is Svadhrita, which is clearly similar to, related to the previous name, Adhrita. Adhrita means not sustained, means he's not sustained by any others. And Svadhrit has a very similar meaning, but just from a somewhat different perspective. Svadhrita, sva means own or self, so Svadhrita means he sustains himself. However, before we get into explanations of how he maintains himself, make a note that Parashara Bhatta explains this name and the next two names in a related way, and then brings them all into the name 850, brings them all together. What it is this name we're seeing now, 847, Svadhrita. He interprets it with a different Sanskrit derivation. Remember that these explanations that the commentators give are not just some speculation. They're based on rules of Sanskrit grammar, and all the explanations given are backed up by quotes generally from Shruti and Smriti, in the case of Shankaracharya, almost always from Shruti. And in some cases, the Tamil commentators, they also quote from the Divya Prabandham. To be understood in Sri Vaishnava darshan, or understanding of the nature of reality, there is the Supreme Lord, Narayana, Vishnu, whose thousand names we are discussing. There is Lakshmi, who is largely understood to be on the same level as him. Well, there's some different opinions within the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, on the same level as him, in some ways even greater than him in terms of compassion. Then there are the bound up jivas, baddha jivas, the conditioned souls in the material world. There are the muktas, those who were conditioned and who are now liberated. And there are the nityasuris, those who never were conditioned but have always lived in the spiritual world. So this name which we're discussing now, Svadhrita, Sri Parashara Bhatta explains it to mean that he, Narayana, is superior to the conditioned souls. And then the next name is Svasya, which Parashara Bhatta explains to mean he is superior to the muktas, those who were conditioned and who are now liberated in the spiritual world. And the next name, 849, Pragvamsa, he takes to mean in relation to the always liberated souls, that he's superior to them also. And then he brings them all together in name 850, Vamsa Vardhana, meaning the one who fosters and develops all these three categories of jivas. So let's look first of all at Parashara Bhatta's explanation of the name Svadhrita. Parashara Bhatta takes this to mean one who is self-supporting, he doesn't depend on anything or anyone else, his sovereignty is innate and natural to him. This distinguishes him from the greatness that the conditioned souls can acquire. Remember that Parashara Bhatta has been discussing the previous names in terms of the Ashta Aishvarya or Ashta Siddhi, the eight mystic achievements which can be attained through austerities and yoga by conditioned souls. So here Parashara Bhatta says that the nature of the Supreme Lord, the innate nature, is such that he automatically has all of these, which is the highest attainment within the conditioned state. The highest attainment is to have all these, at least the way that's how the yogis see it, is to have these mystic perfections. But he automatically has them, so he's superior to them. And it means he's superior to the various demigods also. The demigods, they all, and many of the demons, they also have innate in them some mystic powers. They can do what we here in this miserable Kali Yuga consider to be impossible, like taking different shapes at will, or even we hear of Maya Danava bringing the souls that had left bodies in battle, the demons who had been killed, if their bodies were still intact, he could bring the souls back and revive them back to life. So they have mystic powers, and the gods, the devas and the devis in the heavenly worlds, they are enjoying the results of their karmas. They are very powerful from our perspective, in as much as they are controlling the light, heat, rain, other natural factors, what we take to be natural. But it's only because he supports them in their position. They're supervisors in their position. And when we offer prayers, or when material people, materialistic people, Kangshanta Karmanang Siddhim Yajanta Devataha, people in this world, desirous of material perfection, they worship various demigods. So worshipping them is something like offering to a tax collector who's supposed to pass it on to the king or the government. He supports them. They can fall anytime. Indra fell, and then Nahush took his position, and Nahush fell. But he is the great one. Eko ha vai narayana asit na brahma na ishana. The Maha Upanishad starts off by stating, he is the one and only, right from the very beginning. He is the support of the universe. As he states in Bhagavad Gita, pita ham asya jagato mata dhata pita maha. I am the father of this universe, the mother, and dhata means the support, and pitamaha means the grandsire. So svadhrita, dhrita, and dhata. Svadhrita means, dhrita means he has the function which qualifies him as dhata, the sustainer or the support. So going on to other explanations of this name, he's self-supporting. Self-sustained, self-supporting. Svadhrita, if we take sva to mean his, sva means his, but if we take this to mean his devotees, then we can say sva, his devotees, dhrita, he is supported, he is held in the mind by his devotees. That's very nice. Then we can take it to mean svam can also mean he supports the prosperity of his devotees, svamdhanam. Another meaning is he's self-sustaining, self-situated. Going back to this, Shankara Acharya quotes Chandogya Upanishad. The question is, Sa Bhagavan Kasmin Pratishtita Iti? And the answer is, which means, where does Sa Bhagava, not Bhagavan, Sa Bhagava, that great, great greatness, where is it situated? Or where is it situated? Or how is it situated? Sa Bhagavan Kasmin Pratishtita Iti? The answer, Svemahimni. Situated in his own glory. So that's a very relevant quote. This is also cited by Baladev Vidyabhushan. He agrees with Shankara by quoting this, that it's a question, there's so many questions we find in Chandogya Upanishad. Gargi, the Rishika, the woman sage, asks so many questions to Yajnavalkya. And many people, even at the time, who were present, might not have been able to understand the depth of the conversation going on between them. She asked very deep and penetrating questions, and Yajnavalkya kept on answering until he came to a point where he said, okay, enough, don't ask any more questions or your head will fall off. In other words, that seems to be said in a somewhat sarcastic way. In other words, you can't understand everything simply by the brain. Anyway, he resides in his own greatness. He is supported by his own greatness. So this means he is independent. The name Svabhasha, he is under his own control. That's already done. Swarat, we know the word from the beginning of Bhagavatam. He is Swarat. Janmadhyasayaton vayad itaras charte svabhignya Swarat. It's a more common word in modern Indian language usage is Swadhin, means he's dependent on himself. Swarat, he lords over himself. So these terms all mean that he's independent, which is a defining quality of the Absolute Truth. Because the Absolute Truth means it's not relative to anything else. Everything else may be relative to the Absolute Truth, but the Absolute Truth is independent. The defining characteristic of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Logically, we can understand that if something supports something else, then that must be supported by something else. And then that thing must be supported by something else. And if we go back and back and back and back, it's turtles all the way down. The question was, there's an apocryphal story of when someone was asked, how is the earth supported? It rests on a turtle. And what does the turtle rest on? Another turtle. And then it's turtles all the way down. Actually, in Vedic understanding, there is the turtle, Kurma Avatar, supporting. But the ultimate support of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is an ultimate support. I'm going to read from Srila Prabhupada's purport to Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 10, Text 8. A lot of the discussion in the second canto is, at least I find it to be, quite technical and difficult to follow. So this is part of that which is technical and difficult to follow, but if you listen carefully, you'll see how this is all connected. to the name Svadhrita, which we are now discussing, Srila Prabhupada writes, the individual person possessing different instruments of senses is called the adhyatmic person. Adhyatmic, adhyatmic means just like the Atma, the individual person possessing different instruments of senses is called the adhyatmic person, and the individual controlling deity of the senses is called adhidaivik. So the devata who controls the senses. The embodiment seen on the eyeballs is called the adhibhautik person. From the translation given by Bhanuswami, we can get another perspective which helps us to understand that the covering on the jiva known as the subtle sense organ. In other words, we have the sense of sight which through the eye, but there's an inherent sense of seeing. So that is not different from the demigod who helps us to, or who oversees the sense of seeing. And the same way with all the divisions. So going on to the next verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, Ekam Ekatara Bhave Yadano Palabhamahe Tutayang Tatrayo Veda Sa Atma Svashrayashrayaha. Yeah, Svashrayashrayaha means he's sheltered in himself, which gives the same idea, Svadhrita, self-sustained. Srila Prabhupada's translation of this, all three of the above mentioned stages of different living entities are interdependent. In the absence of one, another is not understood. In other words, there may be an eye there, there may be something to see, but without the seer, seeing won't take place. There may be a seer and something to see, but without the eye, the sense of seeing, vision will not, seeing will not take place. There may be the seer, the living being, and the eye, but if there's nothing to see, if you're in a dark dungeon with no light, then you won't see anything. In the absence of one, another is not understood, but the Supreme Being, as the shelter of the shelter, sees every one of them and is independent of all, therefore he is the Supreme Shelter. Bhanuswami puts it another way, since we cannot perceive one item in absence of one of the other items, subtle sense, sense deity, and gross form, he who is independent of these three is the Atma, but the shelter of the Atma is the Paramatma. So he is self-supporting and he supports all others. Srila Prabhupada's purport, it's a long purport, I'm just going to read part of it, which is also quite a long part to this verse. It might not be the most entertaining, but spiritual knowledge, believe it or not, is meant for understanding for the sake of our spiritual advancement and not for entertainment. So from Srila Prabhupada's purport, there are innumerable living entities, one dependent on the other in the relationship of the control and the controller. But without the medium of perception, no one can know or understand who is the controlled and who is the controller. For example, the sun controls the power of our vision. We can see the sun because the sun has its body, and the sunlight is useful only because we have eyes. Without our having eyes, the sunlight is useless to us. And without sunlight, the eyes are useless. Thus they are independent, interdependent. Neither of them is independent. Therefore, a natural question arises, who made them interdependent? The one who has made such a relationship of interdependent must be ultimately completely independent. These are logical arguments for the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Continuing, as stated in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the ultimate source of all interdependent objects is the completely independent subject that I stated, Swarat. This ultimate source of all interdependence is the Supreme Truth or Paramatma, the Supersoul, who is not dependent on anything else. He is Svashrayashrayaha, dependent only on himself, and thus he is the supreme shelter of everything. Still, Paramatma and Brahman are subordinate to Bhagavan because Bhagavan is Purushottama, or the superperson, the source of both the Supersoul and Brahman. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that he is the Purushottama and the source of everything, and thus it is concluded that Sri Krishna is the ultimate source and shelter of all living and of all entities, including the Supersoul and the Supreme Brahman. Even accepting that there is no difference between the Supersoul and the individual soul, as the impersonalists say, which is true in one sense, but Srila Prabhupada goes on to say, the individual soul is dependent on the Supersoul for being liberated from the illusion of material energy. The individual is under the clutches of the illusory energy, and therefore, although qualitatively one with the Supersoul, he is under the illusion of identifying himself with matter. And to get out of this illusory conception of factual life, the individual soul has to depend on the Supersoul to be recognized as one with him. In that sense, also, the Supersoul is the supreme shelter, and there is no doubt about it. So in some detail, Srila Prabhupada is explaining how the Supreme Lord is the shelter, the support, from Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on this verse, as translated by Bhanuswami Maharaj. The jiva takes shelter of Paramatma, Swashray, whose shelter is himself. The meaning is this. The jiva is the shelter of the three items, the subtle sense, the sense deity, and the gross sense in the body, which are mutually dependent. The shelter of the jiva is the Paramatma. Paramatma is the shelter of Paramatma. That means self-sheltered, svadhrita. Thus, Paramatma is the ultimate shelter. Since Krishna says that by his ansha, his part, he pervades the worlds, it should be understood that Krishna is the shelter of Paramatma. Thus, Krishna is the chief shelter. Paramatma, as his ansha, is also called the shelter. And Brahman, being his impersonal form, is also called a shelter. So he's the shelter of the shelters. Here's an statement right from the Rasa Lila of how Krishna takes shelter of his own internal potency, which is none different from him, for the sake of enjoying Rasa Lila. We're jumping from the Paramatma overseeing the material world, and Krishna, who is the shelter of the Paramatma. The Paramatma is the shelter of all the living beings in the material world, and Krishna is the shelter even of the Paramatma. And Krishna takes shelter of his own internal potency. But you may say, well then, how is he svadhrita? Because his own internal potency is non-different from him. This is the verse, the first verse in the 29th chapter, the beginning of the Rasa Panchadhyay, the five chapters describing the Rasa Lila in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, Sri Badarayanir Uvacha, Bhagavan Apita Ratrihi, Sharad Utpula Malikaha, Viksha Rantung Manaschakre, Yogamayam Upashritaha. Yogamayam refers to Krishna's internal potency by which his pastimes are enacted, and Upashrita means taking shelter of. Sri Badarayani, Shukadev, said, Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full in all opulences, yet upon seeing those autumn nights in Vrindavan, scented with blossoming jasmine flowers, he turned his mind toward loving affairs. To fulfill his purposes, he took shelter of his own internal potency. So there we have it. Everything is supported by him. All the eternally liberated souls, all the souls who have become liberated, all of those who are not liberated, all the gross matter which has no consciousness, everything is held by Bhagavan, supported by him, but he supports himself. He's self-sustained. He doesn't need any external support. His sovereignty is innate, but everything else needs his support. Whether we admit it or not, everything is depending on his support. Everything that we may desire, happiness, knowledge, peacefulness, strength, power, position, everything depends on his will. We can remain in a prestigious or happy or healthy position as long as he supports us in that. Satya Sandha Yati Raj gives a different perspective. Referring to Svam as dhanam, wealth. That's an sva. He takes it to mean svam, which means wealth, and he gives the interpretation that he supports and sustains prosperity in well-being and well-being in everyone. Whatever wealth we have, it's all sustained by him because he is infinitely wealthy. He sustains all wealth. Vanta kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyavacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Tante nithaya trunakang padaya nipatya kritva chaka kushatame tadaham bravime hai sadhava sakala eva vihaya durad. Gauranga Chandra Charane Kurutanu Raga Parivadatu Jano Yata Tatava Nanu Mukaro Navayang Vicharayama Hari Rasamadira Madati Matta Bhuvi Vilutama Natama Nirvishama Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.